Welcome to the Grace to You audio blog. After you hear what John MacArthur says, stick around and find out how to get in on the conversation.
Let's see if we can't get a timeline on when this all happened. From the creation of the universe to the creation of man was how long? 6 days. Start counting. Starting in Genesis 5, you get Adam. And then you start with Adam, in Genesis 5, and you go to the flood. And you got a whole lot of people in there, and all the years of their life are given. You see it there in chapter 5. You have the sequence. He lived so many years and he had a son. And he lived so many years and he had a son. He lived so many years and he had a son. You add up those. You have 6 days from the creation of the universe to the creation of man. From the first man, Adam, to the flood, you have 1,656 years. 1,656 years, the flood comes. Genesis 11 gives you the chronology from the flood to Abraham. It starts out with the children of Noah, Shem, verse 10, goes right on down to Abraham. That's 225 years, okay? 6 days, 1,656 years, and 225 years. So something under 2,000 years, and you're at Abraham. Start in Genesis 12 with Abraham and go through the Old Testament historical books, Exodus, Numbers, Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Just proceed through those books. And you have the chronology from Abraham to the Babylonian captivity. That would be 430 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, 7 years conquering Canaan, 350 years of the judges, 110 years of the United Kingdom under Saul, David, and Solomon, 350 years under the divided kingdom of Judah and Israel, and then you have the Babylonian captivity, 70 years, and then you have the return and the rebuilding, 140 years. So from Abraham to the return and rebuilding of Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the nation Israel, you have about 1,500 or so years, if you add all that up. Following the rebuilding and the restoration, you're at the end now of the Old Testament. You got 400 years of silence. So you have about 2,000 years. We sort of started out from the creation to Abraham is about 2,000 years. From Abraham to the New Testament is about 2,000 years. And from the beginning of the New Testament to now is about 2,000 years. Archbishop James Usher, a great scholar, by the way, added all the genealogical, chronological records of Scripture and said that he felt that the creation occurred in 4004 B.C. Now, you know, the evolutionists just mock that. The world, the universe, 6,000 years old. But he was no doubt very close to being accurate. And prior to Charles Darwin, any educated man who suggested that mankind was over 6,000 years old was seen as a fool. All historical records fit into that 6,000 years. You can go back and study European history. You can go back and study the records, the Egyptian records, and they all go back no further than that. You say, well, isn't it possible that some names got skipped in the genealogies? That's one of the things you hear all the time. Isn't it possible that some names got skipped? Let me tell you something. One very hard thing to prove is what got left out. That is very hard to prove. 19th century Princeton scholars, William Green and B.B. Warfield, both were inerrantists. They believed in the authority of the Bible. But they tried to harmonize the Bible with evolution. And the way they wanted to do it was to stretch the genealogies. There's nothing to argue about over the last 2,000. There's nothing to argue about over the 2,000, really, from Abraham to the New Testament period. That's pretty well fixed in history. So they decided they had to stuff some years in the first 2,000. They said there were various generations omitted and that father and begat could skip generations and refer to a more remote ancestor. Well, there's no evidence for it. William Kelly writes, even if Green and Warfield were correct in positing gaps within the genealogies of Genesis, the most generous assigning of gaps between various generations couldn't add more than several hundred, or at the most maybe 1,000 or so years, to the Usher's chronology. Indeed, a more careful look at these gaps will indicate that they really do not change the overall biblical chronology for the following reason. The writer of Genesis defined the length of the patriarchal age in terms of the time between the birth of the patriarchs who are actually listed, not in terms of how many other descendants there may have been who are not listed. You get the point? If you hit the high peaks of the patriarchs and you give the years for those, you can't stuff any more years in between. James B. Jordan wrote, anyone who opens the Bible to Genesis chapter 5 and 11 will notice that the age of each father is given for the time of his son's birth. Adam was 130 years old at the birth of Seth, who was 105 years old at the birth of Enosh, and so forth. Thus, we appear to have an unbroken chronology from creation to Abraham. There are no gaps in the sequence. Son follows father in strict succession, it seems. The link between Genesis 5 and 11 is established by Genesis 6, 7 and Genesis 11, 10. Arphaxad was born in Noah's 602nd year. Thus, at first glance, there appears to be good reason to accept the chronologies of Genesis 5 and 11 at face value. Now, even if there are some gaps, as I said, and you wanted to stuff them with everything you could possibly think of, you'd never come up with millions of years. At best, it's just a few thousand years ago. And a scientist comes along and says, well, I got a problem with that. What about the speed of light? If God created a star out there, and it's X number of light years away, it would take a million years for it to get here. The light can't get here. And the fact that we can see the light of the star way out there indicates that millions of years must have gone by. Well, how about this for a wild solution? God not only created the star, he created the light in between there and here. Does that sound impossible? Well, if that's too simplistic, let me give you another solution. Hang on. Research has been done on the speed of light. They've done it in kilometers. The speed of light is generally accepted as being 299,792.458 kilometers per second, or rounding it off, 300,000 kilometers a second. A light year is the distance light travels in a year. Thus, a star might come into being a million light years away from the Earth, but couldn't actually be observed until a million years later, because it would take that long for the starlight to reach the Earth from outer space. If this is the case, then the solar system has to be immensely older than the few thousand years indicated by the Genesis chronologies. This fact would seem to remove the biblical chronology from serious consideration if we're going to have any honest assessment from science. Well, let me tell you why that doesn't work first. And this comes from some interesting, fascinating research by an Australian scientist named Barry Setterfield. Listen to this. Arguments that the speed of light has been slowing down and thus traveled much more rapidly in the past would indicate a very young universe in terms of thousands rather than billions of years. According to Setterfield, the first careful measurement of the speed of light was made by a Danish astronomer, Reimer, in 1675, and then by an English astronomer, Bradley, in 1728. It's been measured many times since then, and is said to have reached an equilibrium at the number I gave you a moment ago. The data indicate that the speed of light in 1675 was about 2.6 faster than today, and that it continued to decline until 1960, when atomic clocks began to be employed to measure it. Setterfield charted a rate of about 5.7 kilometers decrease in velocity per second between 1675 and 1728, and 2.5 kilometers per second decrease between 1880 and 1924, and he kept charting the decrease. He worked out a curve tracing the decay of the velocity of light. On this basis, Setterfield figures the Earth was created about 4,040, plus or minus 100 years. At the time of creation, the speed of light was going so much faster than it does now. If the speed of light has indeed decayed, along with everything else, then the most basic empirical measurement of the age of the solar system would fit precisely into the genealogical chronologies of Genesis. Wow. If you just take those same figures, put them on a curve, you have light being almost instantaneous 6,000 years ago. Does that surprise you? Shouldn't. Moreover, assuming that's correct, that would explain why the dates derived from various types of radioactive measurements on physical geological elements, such as the half-life of uranium-238 decaying into lead over millions of years, would all be skewed. The velocity of an electron in its orbit is proportional to the speed of light. We don't find anything in science that legitimately casts doubt on the veracity of this creation. In 6 days, 6,000 or so years ago.
Now we want to hear from you. Here's the address, gty.org/audioblog. That's gty.org/audioblog. /audioblog.